All right. Well, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the theme of the conference for United Church of God this year, the ministerial conference, was edifying the body, which is the body of Christ, the members who have been baptized into the name of the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit, and edifying the body through spiritual gifts. We don't talk often about spiritual gifts. I gave a sermon on that, a two-part sermon a couple of years ago on Pentecost. But spiritual gifts are something that sometimes we get a little nervous about because of the implications of those who have misused it and the topic and misunderstand the use of spiritual gifts. And so we tend to shy away from things that we get a little nervous about sometime. The Feast of Pentecost is coming up next week, and as we study the day of Pentecost and we look into that first New Testament day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given and the New Testament church began, we see in Acts chapter 1 verse 4 that Jesus told the disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." There was a gift that was going to be given. And he says, "What you have heard me speak about." And then verse 5 says that John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You would go, the Holy Spirit would enter you and be a part of you. And the Holy Spirit is God's power. It's a little bit of Him tapping into His power and who He is. It's a little bit like plugging into an outlet to charge your device or to run your device. We plug into God's power when He gives us His Spirit. And of course, they asked Him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" That question everybody wants to know. When is the return of Christ? I mean, is this it? You talk about the kingdom of God. You talk about setting up God's kingdom on earth. Is now that time? And He said, well, don't focus on when it is so much. People always want to know. He said, don't focus so much on it. But He says, verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." You want to know about the kingdom, but the kingdom isn't just going to magically appear. You've got a job to do before that kingdom comes. You need to be my witnesses, to preach the gospel in all the world as a witness, and then the end will come. And He says, but I'm going to give you power to be able to do that job. And the focus was on doing the job, fulfilling Christ's will and the Father's will on earth before Christ would return and establish the kingdom of God in the millennium, the great white throne judgment, and then with the new heaven and new earth that will come eventually. And so they waited around in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And when the Holy Spirit came, it came in a different manner. And we'll talk about that another time, but it was a unique manner. It was for a sign that God was doing something special. And they spoke in languages because there were people of so many languages there, and they didn't have Google Translate at that time. They needed to have a gift to be able to speak in the language, the Word of God, and for people to hear and understand it in their language, which is an amazing thing. And then they had a visual of something that looked like fire on their heads. It was unusual. Didn't take place after that. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, again, one of the unique things that happened at that time was the gift that came of the speaking in various languages and the gift of interpretation as time went on so people could communicate the Word of God. The United Church of God Constitution, which was written in 1995 when United began after an apostasy from the truth and the organization we came from, Under 3.2 in the Constitution and functions within the church, it says there is one body, the church, which is a spiritual organism. The church has many members, to each of whom God has bestowed the measure of faith through the Holy Spirit. That, by definition, is what a member of the body of Christ is, one who has received God's Spirit. It is not entering a church building to be with a group of people. It is being baptized, having the laying on of hands, and receiving the Holy Spirit. And then it says, through that Spirit, our Father has made us one body of Christ and individually members one of another. And then it goes on to say, and this was written again back in 1995, but it says, He has given us gifts that differ according to His will, and has entrusted His Spirit to each of us so we might exercise those gifts. And then it says, with humility, with gentleness, and patience, in submission, first to Jesus Christ, then to one another. And it, as the Bible states, says that there are gifts given with the Holy Spirit, and it's not just having a part of God's power, but the ability to fulfill His will through certain gifts that He gives that are beyond our normal abilities or attitudes. The vision statement, and this one was revised and just made last year. I think it was a 2012 this one was made. And it's based on the scriptures. At the bottom there you see Ephesians 4:16 and Hebrews 2:10. The vision statement for the United Church of God is a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, quoting Scripture, with all doing their share. If you truly have God's Spirit, He says that you are called to do your share, to do your part, not just to be a warm body or to sit at home by yourself. You're part of a body and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity and bring many children to glory. The disciples said, is this the time of the coming kingdom? He says, not yet. You're going to receive God's Spirit, and then He's going to give you the power to do His will in preaching the gospel, in growing the church, in developing children to be used in the plan of God. And it's our task, every member, to participate in that. It's not a calling of just ministers. It's not a calling of just deacons or deaconesses. It is a calling of everyone, if you have God's Spirit, to do your part. In the strategic plan for this year, the operation plan and budget, there was a section in there from the then President Dennis Lucar, and of course he died before this conference. But one of the things he said in there is, teach the brethren so they can teach others the truth. It's not about giving glory to any individuals except God the Father and Jesus Christ. It is about all doing our part. And in order to do our part, God gives us spiritual gifts to do that. And let's talk about those gifts. What are spiritual gifts? They are gifts that are a function of and from God's Spirit. God gives some of His power, and it's a function of His power. He doesn't extend it to you just because He likes you a lot. He does like you a lot. But there's a purpose for it. Anchor Bible Dictionary says, special gifts bestowed by God on individual members of the Christian community for the edification of the whole community. You won't see in any of this discussion, when spiritual gifts are discussed, that it's for the glory of the individual. That it's for the purpose of making somebody look good. That it's for the purpose of edifying somebody to show how wonderful they are and that you should follow them because of how good the person is. It's all about the edification of the whole community. And it's essential we understand that. It says, gifts are bestowed by the Holy Spirit upon Christians for the purpose of building up the church. And again, these statements, this one from Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary, is taken from the principles of Scripture, as we will pursue. Why are they called spiritual gifts? Well, one, they're spiritual because they're not physical. Can we do a bunch of things and do it well? Yes. Microsoft has a bunch of talented people that do a lot of things well and they've made a lot of money. But it's not about a bunch of talented people and, you know, God saying, well, I need you so much because you are so talented. Although we do have certain talents, we take advantage of those. People have certain natural, physical, or developed physical gifts. But these are something beyond that. And they're gifts because we don't receive them by our own efforts. We can and should be developing them. We should use them. Like if you were given a gift of a truck for your job, and so the employer gives you this truck, and you say, great, man, you've given me a great gift. Thank you. And you go and sit and listen to the stereo. It's not the reason that the employer gave you the truck. He gave you the truck so you could go out and use it to do a job. Okay, and so God gives us gifts when we're given His Spirit, and He expects us to do a job with it. We have to work it. We have to use it, but He gives that gift. And without that gift, we will not function as God wants us to. So to whom does God give spiritual gifts? Sometimes we think, well, it's just, you know, just the apostles back then. Just a few people, just the ministry. No, that's not what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, pursue love. Notice pursuing love is essential. And he says this right after 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When he says, love is the greatest. Love is number one. Proper understanding and use of the Spirit is first. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Well, this sounds like, okay, well, I could be a prophet. We've got people who are prophets and they set some dates and they say, okay, well, the world is going to end here and God's chosen me to show everybody, and then it doesn't end and they backpedal a little bit and say God made a mistake. But no, it's not about prophesying. This is, the word actually means inspired preaching. In other words, from the perspective that speaking can motivate people. You know, I hope that Mr. Judd's message motivated us to make some proper changes or continuing doing the things we have been doing. And there's something about inspired preaching that is helpful to others because it helps motivate people towards God, towards Jesus Christ, towards the kingdom of God. But it says, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Again, what is the purpose? Is it to make people look good? Now, the people have misused them, as we'll talk about here in a couple of minutes. The people back at that time began misusing them, and we want to address that. But it says, we can be eager to have spiritual gifts. It's not a bad thing. It can turn out wrong if we don't have the right motivation. But it says, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. What's our motive for doing anything? Romans 1 verse 11 says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. And Paul was attempting to use the gifts God had given him to strengthen the brethren. And then through that, he was praying that God would give them gifts to strengthen the brethren too, that be passed on. That's God's way. Romans 12, verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. He said, we've got different gifts. He didn't call all people with the same gift, the same ability, the same part to play. But he gave us all a part to play. But let's use them. 1 Corinthians 12:30. It says, do all have gifts of healings? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And we'll talk about those best gifts as we go on. Desire the best gifts. It's all right. In fact, it's a good thing to do because of the purpose for those gifts. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, as good stewards of the varied gifts given you by God. He gave you that, the analogy I use, he gave you the truck, he expects you to use it to work, okay, to produce something, not just sit there and enjoy it. And it says, let's use the gift he has received in service to others. Notice again, it's that outward focus of the gift. Let's look at those spiritual gifts that are listed in the Bible. They're listed in different places, in different contexts. One of the places, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, says, having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us. And he doesn't say, okay, you're going to have all these. He said, look for an area that would apply to you, that you feel God is using you to help with. What might your part be? And again, due to our physical circumstances in life, due to various changes in our financial circumstances and all kinds of things, those gifts may change and vary in a Christian's life, depending on where they're at any given particular time. 1 Corinthians 12 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. 1 Corinthians 12:28, he summarizes here. He says, God has appointed each of these in the church, again, for the purpose of building the church. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he himself gave, and then he lists some of these things that are listed as gifts in the other areas. So let's look at some of these. In Romans 12, 6 through 8, it says, according to the grace God has given us, and one is prophesying. Again, that is the inspired preaching. Not so much, you know, God told me when the time of the end is, and so you come and join me. That's not what that's about. Teaching. You know, ability to instruct in the Word of God. You know, there are some people who have a knack of teaching young people. And God expects us to use that if we have it, and that skill, that gift. Teaching one another even personally as we talk about and discuss the Word of God, which can be done in some of our clubs and that type of thing. Exhorting, and we'll give definitions to some of these things in a minute. In 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 10, it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And one of those, again, the inspired preaching, prophecy, discerning of spirits. And we'll break these down here in just a couple of minutes, talk about them more. But another is the word of wisdom. You know, there are some people that kind of go to and say, I want to go and listen to them because I think they've got something that they can impart. They've got wisdom. You know, some people seem to have nothing in that area. It's just kind of blank as far as the wisdom. You know, we go charging off and do something stupid. You know, we talk to somebody that's got wisdom and get some of that imparted. The word of knowledge. There are people who read the scripture and understand it and can help impart that word of knowledge to others. The working of miracles, we'll discuss that. Summing up in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says he's appointed those in the church apostles. And I think we see as we look at this that these are gifts given to the church because of the parallel with some of the others in some of the other areas talking about the gifts. But apostles, prophets, teachers, and workers of miracles in parallel. There's not one place where they're all listed. We go to Ephesians 4:11. It says, and he gave himself apostles and prophets, and evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And now he gives a little more thorough list and some of the categories of helping and serving. Continuing in Romans 12:6-8, ministry, service, leading, giving, mercy. 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of healing, different kinds of tongues, languages is what it was talking about, not gobbledygook and people rolling on the floor and foaming at the mouth. That's not what tongues is. Interpretation of tongues, interpreting the languages for others' help. And faith. He sums it up in 1 Corinthians 12:28, gifts of healings, helps, administration, varieties of tongues and interpreting of tongues. Let's take those gifts and break them down into categories of gifts and then talk about them and see the functions of them and how it might apply to us individually and in the church. The three categories of gifts are sign gifts, gifts that this is a sign that God is working, that he's doing something, is working with an individual possibly. Service gifts, and then the perfecting gifts. And we'll talk about those individually. The sign gifts are a distinguishing of and discerning of spirits. You go into the early New Testament, and it says that Christ would cast out demons. And the disciples came along, and it said, you will have power to heal. You'll have power to cast out demons. You'll know when something needs to be done there. And there was a great deal of that going on in the New Testament, early New Testament. Then various miracles that would take place. You know, he even had the gates opening in prison, and you had various miracles and some very dramatic things with healing and so forth. And, of course, the healings you know, touching the apostles' garment could cause a healing in certain things. And there were these miraculous healings. And with Christ, you know, people would gather and he would heal them. And Peter had that gift of healing, and some of the others for a while. The speaking in languages, which was there at the first Pentecost in the New Testament, 31 AD, when, again, to address the many different people from the many different areas of the world, they spoke in a language and people understood it in their own language. Again, not the gobbledygook. And then there was some interpretation. And that went on in the church for a while. I think it may be good at this point, we're talking about these sign gifts that, I mean, you go back to the early New Testament, and if you saw the speaking in different languages and people understanding and the tongues of fire and the great rushing mighty wind and some of these things that people got their attention. And in that first day of Pentecost, they said, man, what's going on here? You guys have had too much to drink. And he said, no, we haven't. This is something special, you know. It got your attention, right? So you may look at me and say, this guy just got off a three-day bender. Got big bags under my eyes. No, the wind came up the other day and it blew all of my trees and the stuff on the trees around. I got my blower out. And I'll tell you, I would have been safe in You know, they fired their guns and the enemy kept a-coming. And don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes. The other day, I'd have been safe, man. I had no whites of my eyes. They were pure red. Anyway, I don't know why I got off on that, but I wasn't drinking, as you may suppose, just because I got bags. It's allergies. And there were healings that aren't done that way anymore. I mean, if you think about if I had the gift of healing, do you think we would only have like 100 people in this congregation right now? I mean, we'd have to bulldoze that place down up there on 90th or whatever and build a bigger place to have all the people come into. You think anybody would be attending over on East Side if I had the gift of healing? They'd all be over here, man. I want some of that. They're sign gifts. Why don't we see miracles and tongues and healings today? Again, there are healings. Mr. Judd brought one of those out. And we pray for healings. And sometimes we get them the way we ask for, and sometimes we don't. But it's not such that everybody's saying, oh, I got to have that guy. Okay. When you look at the early New Testament church, you found that the speaking in tongues was something that helped to bring people into the church of God, and it was a miracle. But you know, when you have these types of gifts, I think God discovered that we couldn't use them as well as he had hoped. This is my opinion. I'm going on my philosophy on why we don't have the miracles and the speaking in tongues and things. The speaking in tongues wasn't done all through even the Bible up to 100 AD when John wrote. That went away. And my philosophy is that the people that had those gifts couldn't handle them, and people began to look to themselves and say, hey, I got the gift of tongues. What if in this congregation we had the gift of tongues? Okay. That you could speak in Russian for all those people in Russia that need help, and it wasn't your language, you weren't born with it, and none of the rest of us have it. And so you're the one with it, and you think, yeah, God's using me. I got the gift. I don't know what's the matter with you people. Okay. What if you had the gift of miracles and you could, you know, change the weather? You don't think it'd go to your head? Now, if you think not, maybe not. And I would respect you greatly if it didn't. But some of these things, it begins to be about me. And I think that's what happened. Is that God says, no, these folks can't handle that right now. Or it's just not the right time because I don't want groups of people coming to this big church just to be healed. I want them there to put their faith and their trust in me, to build character, to go through the process. So it's not just about being there to be healed. And so I think there are a lot of reasons why we don't have those signs and miracles like we did, like they did in the early New Testament. And I think a lot of it is that we can't handle it. I think they'll come back eventually, but we're going to have to be humble enough to use it if they come back. And I know at least with some, with the two witnesses, you're going to see some of those things happen. And I don't know how limited or great it will be. But anyway, there'll be signs that will be given by people before the end. There are people that begin thinking they've got some of these things now, and they've done just what I think the problem was, too much focus on them and not on why we have the gifts. Little side diversion. Let's talk about the service gifts. These are gifts that God said, I've given you my spirit, and we all have a part in the body of Christ. You may just have one of these. You may have a couple of them. But we all have a part. What are these? The gift of administration, the word administration means a steering or the pilot of a ship is where that word comes from. So by extension, it's a person that organizes, that keeps things moving in a proper direction. Mr. Kubik's assistant, he's just now moved into president, but as the ministerial and member services director, he took on board a man by the name of Chris Rowland. Chris is an amazing person. I know he's got a lot of natural talent, but I believe that God's given him a gift of administration, organizing things, helping things move. You know, God gave us as a gift, you know, Chris Rowland in the home office, just as one example. There are things, people in a local congregation that have certain talents for administration. They help things get done. The Bible says, do all things decently and in order. And it takes certain order. We can't just have chaos. That's not biblical. And so we have certain people that can be administrators and organizing things. There's leadership. Leadership is done by example. It's not commanding. It's not setting up the general to show how great the general is, but they persuade, they encourage other people to reach their potential. It's bringing out the best in others, not just to control or direct others, but to bring out the best in others. It's likened to a conductor of an orchestra. He says, I'm a great conductor. See what I do? And what if there are no people out there to lead? Or what if you're not a good conductor? Okay? We all are players in the band. And there are certain leaders that help orchestrate and help bring everything together for the good of all. There's exhortation. It's a gift. Listed as a gift. It means encouragement, comfort, exhorting. Basically, a person with this gift is able to motivate, to affirm, support, and reassure others. And you know those people who you talk to and they say, yeah, you can do this. You know, you're doing a good job. You know, let's work together to help other people, or you know, you don't give up. You encourage, you support other people. And you go away from these people saying, wow, I'm really glad that I've got that person around, or I'm really glad they talked to me. And again, it's for practical application of God's word. It's bringing out the best in others, again, through exhortation. Faith. Yeah, we all have faith. You cannot receive God's Spirit without faith, but there are some people that stick out in your mind, and as I talk, you know who they are. They're people that are just optimistic. They're positive. And they really believe in God's promises. They trust what He says. And when it's, I won't try you beyond what you can endure, when it is, be patient, when it's, you know, give it some time or whatever, they know that it's going to happen. They know the kingdom is coming. They know God makes promises and He doesn't break them. And you go away just reassured and comforted. They've got this extra measure of faith, it seems, that is there to help other people and inspire others to have more faith also. Many others of us have faith. We believe, but it's helped my unbelief, you know. And we need constant reassurance or direction. And some people just have that, and you know it. Giving is one. It's giving people that give freely and cheerfully. And whether it's time or money or possessions or whatever else, what's mine is yours. And sometimes, and in fact most often, it's people who don't have much. They're literally willing to give you the shirt off their back. And they're just a very giving individual. Or, yeah, I got a lot of things to do, but I know you need help. And they give of their time and efforts to you. And they do it for the sake of others. They know somebody else needs something and they can help. Sometimes it's a person who does have an ability to make money, and it's and they say, well, wow, God really blessed me, and I'm willing to help others. You know, I need to help others. And just have that motivation to help others. And it's time, money, possessions, and are tools to serve God. They just have that. And some of us are greedy and selfish, by comparison at least. Okay. These are people just have that gift to an attitude of giving. Helps. So, well, I want some of those others. I mean, I want the gift of healing or something great. You know, I don't want a gift of just helping people. Well, you probably don't have that gift then. That's the way you look at it. But this is a gift that God gives, and certain people have that. And you in your mind are probably identifying some of these. Helps are people that enjoy helping others, and they're unselfish in helping meet the needs of others. You know, it's not about me. It's about somebody else needs a helping hand. They see things that need to be done. Well, I need to get that done. I need to pick up that piece of trash, or move that chair, or the things that are around the place that need to be done. And well, nobody else is doing it, but I'm good with that. They're unselfish. They rejoice in other people's gifts. I'm glad that person has the gift of inspired preaching, but don't try to put me up in front of a group. Okay, I'll stay back here and I'll set stuff up and I'll take things down and I'll do whatever I need to. As people are looking to give to others, and it's generally behind the scenes. A lot of them, you see it gets done, you don't know who did it, and they don't care to let you know. They just like helping out. It's a gift. Service. Some of these go hand in hand. These people are just, they're a pleasure to be around. They're going about and they're doing a job and they're smiling and, hey, how are you doing today? And they look for those unmet needs. They do whatever is necessary to meet those needs of others. It's building the body of Christ. It's making sure things get done. They're unselfish, able to serve without recognition and thanks. That's not what they're looking for. They don't tuck their tail between their legs and go home if somebody doesn't thank them, because they just want to do the job. And mercy, and a gift of the Spirit, mercy. The Greek means to feel sympathy with the misery of another. And there are some here that have that wonderful gift. I don't think all of us do, to the amount that we want to. And sometimes we want to feel more for somebody, and sometimes it's us going through something that gets us to that point where God is able to give us then that gift to feel more sympathy for other people, or empathy. They show great empathy and compassion for those who suffer physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and that goes into their prayers and is reflected to God in that way, like Mr. Judd was talking about. They cheerfully assist those in need. These people kindly address the needs of people that are forgotten. They'll bear somebody else's burdens. They see somebody that's neglected and they'll go and do what they can to help that person. A lot of these are things that are maybe a little bit built in, but God gives you the gift to really make that build the church of God. None of these are about you, except that God uses you to build the church. When it becomes about us, then we lose the effectiveness. Then there are the perfecting gifts, and we'll define perfecting gifts. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And why does he give these individuals? He says, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ." And it's, again, not about a title. It's about an effect. And God builds the body through some individuals who will humble themselves to be able to do these jobs. It says, until we all attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure, the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. It's all for bringing people closer to God, closer to God and God's power and God's Spirit and God's plan. Not about bringing recognition to me, but to God. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, again, it's a group effort here, but causes the growth of the body for the building up itself in love. And so these are perfecting gifts. They're making us closer to the stature of Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose for them. They're listed as apostleship, a person that is sent by God to do something for Him and His body. Prophecy, again, inspired preaching, who can move people towards God and towards their purpose and inspire them to do well. Evangelism. I mean, I think you see these guys on Beyond Today that you know, are out there preaching the Word of God, and it's a kind of evangelism, and those guys have a pretty good gift of getting that out there. A pastor, and again, it's one that helps to bring out the best of others and point them to God and Christ, and a teacher that can explain that Word. And it's essential we understand it, and sometimes we read it and don't quite get it, but then, you know, we maybe get a download a class from ABC and, you know, listen to Don Ward teach, you know, something about the Word of God. And we, oh yeah, I understood. I never understood that before. People that are good teachers, those with wisdom, those with knowledge, to bring out the best in God's people. Ephesians 4 verse 4 says there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, the grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so God has called us, He's given us certain gifts to do His work, to draw closer to God. It says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high and he led captivity captive, he gave gifts to men. Why did he give them? To fulfill his plan. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And he did that for the benefit as a gift to the church. And he has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. This is in 1 Corinthians 12. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. And this isn't a list according to importance. But he says, and then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And he's given a variety of these things. And everybody's got a part to play. And we need to identify those and ask God to help bless us so we can bless others. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, are all apostles? You know, do we all have the same thing? Are we all expected to? Is there anybody with all of the gifts? Absolutely not. You know, it'd be nice. Be nice if you could have like a pastor and had all these gifts. And you wouldn't have to do anything, basically. I could just do it all, you know. I got it all. Yeah, doesn't happen. I got a couple of things. So do you. We work together to make the whole. Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues and interpret? Well, certainly not. They had their parts even with those sign gifts. But he said, earnestly desire the best gifts. What are the best gifts? It would be nice if, you know, Lynn could have the gift of healing and he could just touch Gloria and then it'd all be over. You know, maybe were there. Is that the best gift even? Is that the most important thing right now, is to make everybody whole and nobody dies? Is that a part of God's plan? And yet I show you a more excellent way. It's interesting he says this just before 1 Corinthians 13. And we all know 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. The love chapter is sandwiched between the gifts talked about in chapter 12 and the gifts talked about in chapter 14. And it's there for a reason and a purpose. Because while all these gifts are great, and God expects us to use them, we don't use them properly. They're not worth anything. So he gets into 1 Corinthians 13, and he says, if I have gifts, and he lists some of those. But he said, if I have gifts, but have not love, I'm nothing. No, he mentions tongues, he mentions prophecy, he mentions all these different things, and doing things for people, and give my body to be burned. And so I got the gifts. Am I using them properly for the right motive? Or am I trying to do it for me? And 1 Corinthians 13, I mean, we got to live by it. We do. And then it says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And then chapter 14, he starts talking about the gifts again. He says, get perspective. And then let's move forward and do the work. So why does God give spiritual gifts? I think we've pretty well made it clear. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as good stewards, the varied gifts given to you by God, let each use the gift he has received in service to others, loving others, caring for others, loving God. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, he gave some gifts. And again, why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body. What there is self-aggrandizement? What in any of this is something that's focused on how good I am, but how to be like Jesus Christ? To the measure, the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. That's why when Mr. Weber, he said, it doesn't depend on who's there. You know, it depends on how they submit themselves to God as to whether he'll be a good president or a good council member or a good minister or a good member. It causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Again, the United Church of God vision statement, it says it's a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity and bringing many children to glory. That very well sums it up, and again, based upon the scriptures as to what our job is. Let's do God's will. Let's use his gifts.